Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition, the wet Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. Can you believe this weather? And it's like Bill Murray in the film Groundhog Day. You wake up and it's exactly the same every day. It's the same weather forecast. The temperatures have been the same every day this week. Overnight lows in the mid-60s, afternoon highs in the mid-70s. And it rains and storms every so often. We just had some pretty heavy weather. It didn't last too long. We had a pretty good downpour here in the Butler area. Well, that's something we'll worry about a little bit later. We want to talk today. We have a couple of guests, and the first one is with us here in the studio, and that's Butler historian and storyteller Bill May. Bill, good to see you. It's always good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on today, Dave.
You have some programs coming up in the near future that a lot of people would be interested in. I bumped into somebody in our parking lot a couple of mornings ago who said, I heard you talking about Bill May being on. when's that thing down at Alameda Park? And I said, well, it's later this week. I said, he's going to be on with me on Wednesday, so stay tuned. You are doing a program at the Carousel Shelter tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, the Carousel Shelter at Alameda Park at the bottom of the hill at 6:30 p.m. It is undercover. Mm-hmm. Since we do seem to get some rain, so you'll be dry. And it's the history of Butler's historic movie theaters.
Of which there were many. We'll talk more about that in just a moment or so. But you also have a program tonight somewhere.
And tonight I'll be out at Jennings Nature Preserve, mm-hmm. right across from the old stone house. And it is inside. And I'll be giving a talk on the history of McConnell's Mill, the story of the Civil War captain and freed slave who left us the legacy of McConnell's Mill State Park. Mm. And that is tonight indoors at the building at Jennings Nature Preserve, and that is at 7 o'clock.
I haven't been up there this year. I understand they do some renovations or expansion of that building.
I believe they have. I haven't been in there since they have done that.
Yeah, I knew they had done some work on it.
Well, but it's a real nice facility, and again, it's inside tomorrow night, or I'm sorry, inside tonight for the History of McConnell's Mills. Tomorrow night at the Carousel Shelter, it is undercover. But that the History of Butler Movies Theaters is at 6:30.
I'm taking a wild guess that McConnell's Mill was named after somebody named McConnell.
It was named after Captain Thomas McConnell.
Okay. And that's the Civil War captain, is that?
And he's the Civil War captain. And I've always loved McConnell's Mills. It's such a beautiful, beautiful place.
Gorgeous.
And I'm always interested in who created these things. So a couple years ago, I was out and I became curious who it was named after, how did it happen, what was his life like. And so I started researching it and came up with his story, as well as the equally fascinating story is the freed slave who Thomas McConnell hires in 1880 to work at the mill. He hired him to work a week, and he stayed for the next 72 years.
Mm.
And I've researched him back to the plantation he came from in North Carolina. And it's a fascinating story of the friendship between the McConnell family and Mose Wharton, who is the freed slave. It's a real interesting story and testament to the goodness of mankind that they became such incredibly close friends. And it's a very poignant story at the end as Mose Wharton ages. I have a lot of great stories on Mose Wharton, as well as the Civil War service of Thomas McConnell and how the mill gets created.
That must have been a pretty popular place back in the day. And very fast water there down through the Slippery Rock Creek Gorge. I mean, that mill would have been humming in its heyday.
Yeah, it was, and it had always been pretty much a popular place for tourism, mm-hmm. for people to come and bring a picnic lunch, originally on their in their horses and carriages, and then later with their automobiles. And it's a testament to the McConnell family that that mill, and to Mose Wharton, that that mill is still in existence. We just take it for granted because it's a state park, mm-hmm. but it was because that the McConnells were kind of early environmental preservationists, that they wanted to see, even though they were no longer producing flour at the mill and grinding wheat and corn and buckwheat, that they wanted to see that preserved.
I can remember the first time I ever walked down there. And I was awestruck by the size of those boulders as you're, you know, winding down into the bottom of the gorge there where the mill is.
It's like you're in a different world.
It is, yes,
it's very a different much so. World. So I hope people might come out this evening to Jennings. Again, it's indoors at 7 p.m. and hear the story of the people that created and built that mill and preserved it. You know, there's Civil War and there's the story of the friendship between a freed slave and a Union Civil War captain and their family.
Any charge for that program?
And that's tonight? Free. That is free this evening.
Now, tomorrow night, you're doing your History of Butler's Historic Movie Theaters, and that's a free program, too.
That is free also, undercover in the Carousel Shelter. And I have movie clips and a wide variety of historic photos of the interior and exterior of the movie theaters, stories of live performers, just some great human interest stories of people that performed there, and some events that happened at these theaters, a story of arson, beauty contests, story of a couple of famous in their day movie stars, one from the silent era and one from the talking, that grew up here in Butler, movie stars that grew up right here in our hometown.
What, do you set up a screen there to show your pictures and stuff?
I have a big screen, and I have a speaker, so they'll see some movie clips of some of the films that played there, including for the baby boomers. In my generation, when I would get run home from school from Emily Britton Elementary in the city and race home to watch Paul Shannon's Adventure Time.
Oh, yes.
And I was amazed that I was able to find a video clip of Paul Shannon appearing at the Penn Theater back in the 1960s.
Get out. Wow.
So you'll get to see a film clip of Paul Shannon, and of course he was responsible for the resurgence of the Three Stooges.
Speaking of which, today would have been the 122nd birthday of Mo Howard.
No kidding.
Yeah, born on this day.
Mo, Larry, and Curly.
I don't know whether they were ever in Butler. I don't know.
They did do a lot of live appearances, but I don't think they appeared live here in our town. Mm. But when Paul came, he showed some of the clips. So if you come tomorrow night, you get to see a clip of the children waiting outside the Penn Theater back in the mid-1960s, and you get to see Paul Shannon on the stage with his, what did he call that, his magic sword, dropping down the curtain and raising the curtain up.
That was something to remember a long, long time ago. Paul Shannon, Nosmo King. Remember that?
Which was no smoking, spelled backwards.
Yes. These and other wonderful stories about the historic movie theaters in Butler. By the way, listeners, there were more of them than you might imagine, because back in the day, that was the big form of entertainment, before television, even before radio. Radio kicked in the 1920s. But television didn't come along until the late 40s, early 50s. So movie theaters, they only showed movies, live performances there, right?
Yeah, the original, I kind of take the audience through the first opera house in Butler, which was a place for live performances.
Where was that?
For the first opera house was on Main Street between kind of the Penn Theater and the Working Man's Store.
Okay.
and it was called Nigel's Opera House. It was above Rockenstein's Hardware back in 1878. Mm. And those of in the audience who have seen the play Barnum will remember, or the movie Barnum, will remember from that movie Tom Thumb, who was a little person, most famous performer at one time in the entire world, stood all of 36 inches tall, and he performed in that opera house in 1879 with his wife and his sister-in-law and another performer called General Grant Jr., who were all little people.
Hmm.
So you'll get to hear about Tom Thumb coming to Butler.
So that would have been in that area where the dollar store and all about reclaimed are right now.
Yes. Yeah. And then I go up to when the first movie is shown in Butler and the formation of the movie theaters. For instance, most people don't know the Brick House, mm-hmm. both sides of it, were both movie theaters.
Yeah, the Brick House restaurant and pub on Main Street downtown.
And Larry Gettler, the owner, who I went to high school with, was gracious enough here a few years ago to take me upstairs to see what is left of the old Lyric/Capitol Theater.
I didn't realize there were two theaters in there.
There were two theaters, one on both sides. Kind of a complicated story, and that's where kind of a really interesting story of arson and intrigue takes place in 1914 to 1916.
You'll tell that story tomorrow
night. I'll tell that story. And I have photos of the interior of most of these, including the Butler Theater. I have a set of about 12 to 16 pristine photos of the Butler Theater, which opened in 1930 and closed in 1965, which was designed by one of the foremost theater architects in the United States, a man by the name of John Eberson, who designed 500 movie theaters in the United States.
Hmm.
Absolutely gorgeous theater.
The many of our listeners are probably going through the list of theaters that they can remember in their own mind. Some of the buildings are still there. I always thought the Majestic was the oldest, whether it's just I look at the building and I think that must have been the oldest of the movie houses. That's on East Cunningham Street.
Yeah, and the Majestic was built in 1904. So in the sense of the ones that are still standing, it would be the oldest. And I hunted and hunted and went through movie magazines and architectural magazines for weeks. And one day I turned the page, and there's a picture of the interior of the Majestic Theater.
Hmm.
And it was like I just found gold. And its architecture is more on the lines if you were to go to the Benedum today. It was very ornate and pretty inside.
And it seems to be, I've never seen the inside. I mean, there are some offices, some medical offices in there now. But from the outside, it looks to be the biggest by far of all the movie theaters.
It seated 1,500 people. It had two balconies.
So it would have been like the Benedum or...
Yeah, very similar. It had boxes on the sides.
Oh, wow.
So you get to see the ornamentation, and you get to see what the stage looked like. And then on the very top floor of the Majestic, you also get to see the dance hall they had up there.
Hmm.
They held dances in a little stage for performers. My grandfather used to go to dances there, as well as he told me he would sit up in Peanut Heaven in the second balcony as a boy, and he would throw stuff down. He and his friends would throw things down at the other patrons sitting down below.
Is all that stuff still in there? It's obviously covered up now. I mean, it might like those boxes and balconies.
It's all pretty much taken out.
Pretty much gutted, huh?
Some of the sides of the boxes could still be there. I was actually in that theater about 20 years ago, and I have some photos that my brother and I took of the interior. So you'll see what kind of, a little bit of what is left of the Majestic.
All of these, what we know as movie theaters, they all started out as live stage performing
All but the butler and the pen really were built for movies, though they both had stages, they both held live performances, but those were mainly built for movie theaters, where the others initially were built for live, more live performances.
A lot of people are hear you talking about the Butler Theater. That's the one that the building isn't there anymore. The Penn Theater building is still there. The Capitol and the Lyric, which is now the Brick House restaurant, the Majestic building is still there. The Butler Theater is gone.
And that is very tragic, because it was so significant architecturally, since it was designed by John Ebersole, who, if you've ever been to the Akron Civic Center, a couple hours away, that was designed by Ebersole also. So it's a shame the Butler was not kept, that the city fathers and mothers back in 1965 didn't see fit to preserve that. Could have been a home for the Butler Symphony and many other uses. But I guess it closed at the wrong time in the mid-60s with urban renewal. They wanted to get, even though it wasn't very old, it was only 35 years old at the time. But it's a shame that still does not stand. And people who I've talked to at my talks all will lament the loss of the beautiful Butler Theater.
And where was it? Well, there's a parking lot there now. It was pretty much not quite across the street from the hot dog shop, but pretty close, right behind what was then Pittsburgh National Bank.
Yes.
And now the Working Man's Store. But in that parking lot.
It sat in that parking lot. Yeah. First theater in Butler to be air conditioned.
And it was the most glorious of them all, you say, huh?
Yes, it was based on 12th century architecture. It was a time period shortly after the discovery of King Tut's tomb, and the architecture and decor kind of reflects that. But again, if you come tomorrow night, you'll get to see about a dozen pictures of the interior of the
Butler.
Oh, you
have pictures?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. And they're pristine. I have about a dozen, maybe more, of the interior of the Butler. As well as the interior, most of the other ones, and exteriors.
We're talking with Bill May. I'll take a quick break here, and we'll be back a couple of more minutes to chat with Bill. He has another program coming up, too, but kind of focusing on his program on the history of Butler's historic movie theaters, because that's going to be tomorrow night. And the Carousel Shelter at Alameda Park, bottom of the hill in Alameda, it's free. And what time does that start?
6:30.
6:30 tomorrow night. Quick break, back with more in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. They're asking you again, you backyard gardeners, to consider donating a little bit of your excess produce to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. They've done this for the past several years. It's been very, very successful. And it's so marvelous for the families who depend on the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank to be able to get fresh produce, nutritious fresh produce, because most of the stuff in a food bank, by its very nature, is non-perishable items. So they don't want all your stuff. I mean, you know, you're going to eat your tomatoes and your peppers and your beans, and you'll save some for Aunt Edna and maybe the next-door neighbors. But if you got any left over, think about it. They have a collection program. We'll tell you about that in a few weeks. It starts in the middle of July. And they make it very easy for you to donate excess produce. Society of St. Vincent de Paul in Butler, they like to say, we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. It's a wonderful thought. Bill May is with us, a Butler historian and storyteller. He's giving a program tomorrow night on the history of Butler's historic movie theaters. And that'll be in the Carousel Shelter at Alameda Park. So we mentioned the Butler Theater, the Majestic, the Capitol, and the Lyric. That's the one that I'm not familiar with, the Lyric, because I can remember coming to Butler and seeing the big sign, the Capitol Theater, because it was like a vertical sign outside.
Yes.
That said Capitol, but it was a vertical sign. I didn't know the Lyric Theater was in there too.
Well, the Lyric originally was in the part of the brick house where you have open seating. And then in 1914, and that's where the tale of arson you'll hear tomorrow night if you come to the program, the owners wanted to build a new theater. So they built a new Lyric Theater where the closed-in part of the brick house is. The old Lyric became the Grand initially, and then they get renamed in the 1920s, and the Grand becomes the State, and the new Lyric becomes the Capitol. So right next to each other, you had the State and the Capitol, the State Capitol.
Interesting. Yeah. Sounds like the Lyric from the original name was, for musical performances as much as anything else.
A lot of theaters across the country were named by that, and one of the partners in building the original Lyric was a producer of plays in New York City. So he kind of brought that to Butler with him.
Did we ever have any famous movie stars come to Butler for premieres of their movies or anything like that?
Well, I know we had Mickey Daniels was here from The Little Rascals. And when the Penn Theater opened in 1938, Bing Crosby and W.C. Fields sent letters of congratulations to Ann S. Natopoulos, who was leasing the theater and ran it. Mm-hmm. The theater itself was built by Elias Ritz of Ritz Park fame and Butler County National Bank fame. And then he leased the theater to Ines Natopoulos from Altoona, PA, who owned a chain of theaters.
When did the Penn open?
Penn opened on April 22nd, 1938.
Mm-hmm. And that building, of course, still stands, although in need of renovation work. We hope that occurs at some point in the future. It's been kind of in limbo here for a few years.
We hope that could happen. Being that I'm kind of a historic theater buff, I see it happening all over the country. Mm-hmm. These theaters being reopened and being successful. So why can't it happen here?
You also have a program coming up later this month on historic mansions of Butler, for goodness sakes. What's that all
about,
Bill?
That's the Historic Mansions of Butler walking tour. That is a walking tour. It's only about 0.6 of a mile long, so it's not real long. And it's the mansions or large homes on North McCain Street. Then we go up and I tell the history of Elm Court, go up East Fulton Street, and down East Pearl back to the beginning. So it begins on North McCain and Howard by the Butler Little Theater, and then we start our tour. And that's on Saturday night at 7 p.m. On June 29th, week and a half away. Now, that one is not free. The Movie Talk and the Jennings program are both free. The Historic Walking Tour is $15, and you can make reservations by emailing me excuse me, at butlerwalkingtour@gmail.com, or you can call and leave a message at 724-256-9026.
If you even drive up McCain Street in particular, there's a lot of wonderful historic homes there. It was my understanding that if you go back 100 years or so, that's where a lot of the wealthy merchants downtown lived. That was kind of like, the high-rise, the high-rent district of Butler.
Yeah, they built those homes and lived in them. And so I'll tell you about the building of the homes, the people who lived in them. And with that comes stories of Mark Twain and Abraham Lincoln, the Underground Railroad. The founder of Standard Oil, John D. Rockefeller, all their Butler connections are connected with some of these homes.
Oh, wow. Wow. And it's wonderful that many of those homes are still there and in many cases wonderfully restored.
There has been a resurgence in that section of town of restoration of those homes. So you'll really hear the history of Butler through the people who lived there. And there's about 20 houses on the tour. Tour takes about an hour and a half. And again, that is June 29th at 7 p.m. You need to make a reservation, however, because because it is a walking tour. Mm-hmm. I did it twice last year. Both of them sold out. So they can email me at butlerwalkingtour@gmail.com or call 724-256-9026 to make a reservation.
Bill May chatting with us today. Where did your great interest in local history begin, Bill? Was that in your family, your father, perhaps, that many of our listeners would know, or in school? When did you get interested in local history?
Growing up, I grew up on East Pearl Street, same street I live on today, and my grandparents lived the street below me. And my grandfather was born in 1888, my grandmother in 1883. And they had lived their whole lives in Butler. So I spent a lot of time with my grandfather, sitting on the front porch on his glider. And he would tell me stories of when he met Annie Oakley and Buffalo Bill. And at Thursday night's movie talk, I'll tell you one of the most famous bank robbing gangs in the Old West came to Butler, and he shook his hand. Wow. He told me how he would see Rube Waddell, the Hall of Fame pitcher from Prospect, come into Butler with the potato wagon, picking potatoes up out of the wagon, and watching Rube throw them through holes in the fences. So that's kind of where my real interest in local history came from hearing those stories firsthand from my grandfather.
We might have a question or a comment from a listener here. Let me see. Hello, this is Dave. Do you have a comment or a question for Bill May?
Yes.
Just give me a second here. Do I have Bill put on a pair of headphones so he can hear you? Okay, we're all ready. Go right ahead.
Okay. 1952 graduated from Butler Theater.
Yes, they held a lot of graduations from the high school.
Oh, I didn't realize what you were talking about, caller. Okay.
In both the Majestic at one point, and they held them in the Butler Theater as well.
Huh.
But I think ours was the first class, 1952.
Butler High School then would, of course, been downtown, right, in the red brick building.
Right, yeah. And we were the largest class to graduate, and that we had a choice of separating and having a two nights, or go and have it at the theater.
Well, you might be interested in attending Bill May's presentation tomorrow night down at Alameda Park.
I know. I listen to him a lot. He's very interesting.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
He is. Yes. Well, thanks for the memories. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Thanks for sharing that.
Never thought about that. There wouldn't have been enough room for the huge classes to all graduate at the same time in the red brick building.
Well, I'm really glad she called, because I had come across that but didn't quite understand exactly why they had moved it over. Mm-hmm. And now she has answered that question for me.
Well, you know that auditorium in that building, it has a balcony, but it's rather small. So
yes.
They wouldn't be able to get everybody in there.
In there, right, correct.
Hey, thanks, caller. That's terrific. I just want to review for you. Bill May is doing a presentation tonight at Jennings Environmental Education Center, Education Room. It's free, 7 o'clock, on the history of McConnell's Mill and the story of the Civil War captain and the freed slave who left us the legacy of McConnell's Mill State Park. Then tomorrow night, history of Butler's movie theaters at the Carousel Shelter at Alameda Park. It's under roof, so if it's damp or raining, don't worry, it'll still go on. That's free tomorrow night, 6:30. And then the Historic Mansions of Butler Walking Tour, Saturday, June 29th. And what's the website again to register for that?
Email me at butlerwalkingtour@gmail.com or call 724-256-9026. And reservations are required for the walking tour.
It's always fun to talk with you, Bill. Thanks for stopping in today.
So I'm so thankful for you having me on each year to promote these talks and teach people about local history.
That's what we love to do here. More to come on It's Your Turn. You may have seen a story that made national news. It went crazy on social media about the man who wore a Free Hugs T-shirt. Free Dad Hugs, I think it said, at the Pittsburgh Pride event a couple of weeks ago. He's a Butler guy. His name is Scott Dittman. And he's going to be joining us next to talk about where he came up with this idea. Stick around. More to come on It's Your Turn here on WISR right after these words.
Thinking about remodeling or refinancing your home? ARMCO Credit Union's new HELOC combines the flexibility of a traditional home equity line of credit with the low fixed rate of a home equity loan. Lock in different amounts, rates, and terms up to 20 years under one convenient loan agreement and monthly payment without the hassle of reapplying as your borrowing needs change. It's never been easier to join, so call or visit us at one of our locations or online at armcocu.com to become a member. ARMCO Credit Union is an equal housing lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Welcome back, good friends. Well, as I mentioned a few moments ago before the break, you may have seen this story on, first of all, on local Pittsburgh TV and then later on national TV, and it exploded on social media all over the country. The story of this man with a T-shirt that said "Free Dad Hugs" at the Pride Parade, the Pittsburgh Pride Parade, a couple of weeks ago. Well, the man wearing that shirt was Scott Dittman, and he's a Butler guy, and he's with us here in the studio today. Scott, good to see you. Nice to have you back with us.
Ah, good to see you again.
Were you surprised by the way this action of yours took off and exploded all over the country?
Yeah. There's certainly no go viral button on Facebook or any form of social media. Who knows why things take off? But we went down there. Dena Hayes and I. She started up the Butler County Alliance for Children, the only child advocacy center in the county, about 5 years ago.
Yes.
Out of nothing. And I had seen. We became friends through my work at Helping Butler County, our organization that connects, veterans and elderly and children, anyone in need with resources from the community, and we became friends that way. Dena had RSVP'd on social media about this event that was organized through freemomhugs.org, which is a national organization. And when I had seen that, I thought, well, if you had, 100 moms and 100 dads that were faced with a child that was coming out, and identifying with that population, that my assumption was that the dads would likely overall be less accepting of that situation. So I thought, well, maybe dad hugs would be even more needed,
But so you got this T-shirt made to print it up?
No, I grabbed it off of Amazon Prime.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's not like I'm the first one to have done this. They have the shirts on Amazon Prime. But when we got there and, we had that experience and I came back and my wife had asked me how it went. And I told her, I said, it was great and it was touching, but also angered me. It upset me because you're thinking about from the parent's perspective, like, what are you doing? All this pain you're causing and things like that.
Yeah.
So I put this post together the only way I really know how, which is I'm a parent, so I'm going to address the parents. And I think that was part of it, why it took off, right? Well, it wasn't addressing the population, et cetera. It was addressing parents and saying, look, understand what you're doing. And later on that evening, we were out in the backyard and I actually looked at my phone and I told my wife, Lee, I said, this thing has like 64 shares. That's a lot, Now here we are. It's at 260 some thousand shares, which
is
insane.
So what did your post say exactly? You were telling parents if they have a son or a daughter who's identifying as gay or lesbian that they should try to be more understanding?
Basically that, yeah. I had two examples in the post. The first one was a young woman. The first person I'd hugged that day, I was talking to Dena, and I turned around. There's a young woman standing in front of me, and, she had tears in her eyes. And as a dad, you just know you know, what pain looks like in a child. My daughter's not much younger than her. And we, she hugged me, and she wasn't letting go, and she was thanking me, and, you know, and I wasn't going to let go first, obviously. And after that, you know, Dana and I were talking, and we're like, just this isn't just all going to be lighthearted, handing out hugs, everybody having a joyous time. There was a lot of that, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot as well that would see the shirt and be having a great time, and they'd see the shirt, and all of a sudden you could just see, like, oh, geez, you know, all this pain rushed to the surface kind of thing. So I used that example of her, and I kind of asked the question, you know, who does she go to for love and life advice? Who does she go to talk about memories that only she and her parents would have shared? You know, what's her life like when her basic foundation and support structure isn't there? The very core of that structure isn't there anymore for her. And then another gentleman came up, and he cried for almost a minute on my shoulder. At one point I was literally holding him up. And before that, I remember seeing him come down the street. He was in a blast, you know, until he saw that shirt. Mm-hmm. And, he told us afterwards that when he was 19, his parents found out, and they kicked him out, excommunicated him, and it had been 30 years that he hasn't spoken to them or had any contact with them by their choice. And as a parent, that's what angered me. That's what drove me to write that post, is to, you know, don't be the parent that puts that kind of burden on your children because of who they love and who they choose to spend their time with. I just can't get my head around, you know, that kind of abandonment for that reason, you know.
So your T-shirt said simply, "Free Dad Hugs"?
Yes, sir. That's all it said.
Yeah. And you just stood there while the parade was going by?
Well, stood there might be an understatement. I'm a pretty outgoing guy, so I kind of would. I mean, obviously some of the people came to me. We had people standing in line for dad hugs and mom hugs. We had mom huggers there as well, and I wasn't the only dad hugger there. But at some point, you know, I was actually, well, at most of the points, I was actually going out into the street, into the parade, kind of like a salmon, like you're kind of trying to stay upstream, you know, like hugging everyone and still moving up to keep your spot, if you will, you know, in line. But
pretty amazing. Tell us about the organization that you founded here locally.
Yeah, so we have a group online on Facebook called Helping Butler County, and it's pretty simple format. We identify needs through local agencies and schools and things like that, and we fill those needs. So what I found in the past was that there are so many people that want to help, and they just don't know how to help. They don't know where to begin, you know. But we'll have, for example, a veteran that was homeless, and one of our agencies will have provided him an apartment, and he'll have a job and things like that, but doesn't have a couch, doesn't have a bed, doesn't have flatware and mugs and, you know, microwaves and things like that. Mm-hmm. And we have about 4,000 people in our group now. And when you put a post up saying that this situation, someone's got an extra end table, or, you know, their kids have moved out, so they have a bed and a dresser and things like that. So we take those off their hands, right, and put them to good use. And people like knowing that it's going to a verified need, that it's not just going to be sold on, you know, Facebook flea market or something like that. Likewise, school nurses can call us and say, hey, you know, we've got a child that their shoes don't fit. They're two sizes too small. They don't have a coat. And we don't meet the individuals that we're helping out, and we don't want to. And I don't mean that in any kind of negative way. It's that, you know, that veteran, I would rather him or her walk around the community knowing that the community helped and not putting a face with that. You know, being anonymous in that, I think, is good. So same thing with the children at the schools. We donate to the backpack programs. We actually organize several backpack programs for hungry kids over the weekends. You know, we provide soap and deodorant and things, all kinds of hygiene products to all the school buildings in the county that are associated with us. And so the nurse has them on hand for any kids that need that kind of thing. And we do that all anonymously. We just try to drop it off and say, hey, you know, here it is if you need it.
How do people get in touch with you?
Anybody can just jump on Facebook. It's a public group. They can monitor. All the posts are public. They can see things. So I'll put a call to action up when we need something from the community. We've had several met just in the last couple of days. We had a family with young kids that needed a stove. Their stove had broken, and they don't have the money for another one. And a gentleman stepped up and said, hey, I have one. So now we're arranging, trying to find transportation to get it from one to another. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of ways people can help. Even if it's not with stuff, it's with effort, or, you know, even just organization of others is a great thing to do.
And what do they look for on Facebook again? What's the name?
It's very simple. Helping Butler County. It's the most unoriginal name in the world, but it's straight and to the point. So people should be able to remember it.
Yeah, how long have you been in operation with Helping Butler County?
We opened that up, and I started that in November of 2016. So it's been a couple years now. So 2.5 years now. Yeah.
An amazing story.
Yeah, it's good. And the thing is, it's to the point now where I'm, as much as I'm the enabler of this, like, you know, I mean, I'm the one that puts the calls to action up and things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm also now the bottleneck because I can only, I have a full-time job, I've got my family, you know, things like that. So I actually have a system ready to go. I have a solution ready to go that will allow, it's an app essentially that the community gets and the organizations get and the schools get that would allow them to directly say, hey, we have a need. This is what we need. Who can bring this? Who can bring a couch to a veteran? Who can bring a jacket to a local school for this? That would cut me out of the loop, which would actually make it much more efficient and obviously I wouldn't be bottlenecking anything anymore. So I'm hoping to get that funded and because apps are not inexpensive and I just don't have the disposable income to, you know, throw a pile of money at it. So I have decided, though, that if we as a community and if the organizations and the businesses and the individuals around here are able to fund that app, if we are able to get that app up and off the ground, and I have statements from the agencies and schools of how valuable it would be to them. I mean, they wouldn't have to store things anymore. They wouldn't have to move it twice, move it into storage and then move it to where it goes. They could just say, we need this. And it will go directly from the donor to the recipient kind of thing. You know, I have statements of how valuable it would be for them. But my goal is, you know, if we can get this funded, if we can make this thing a reality, because that's what I do for a living, is design those kinds of things, like for my actual job, you know. But if we can make this a reality, I mean, I'd be more than happy to just say, hey, every organization in Butler County gets it for free. Every organization in you know, every school gets it forever for free. Because there is some overhead associated with running the app, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. You have to have server space and things like that. But I can get that from Armstrong County. But we, you know, I would love to be able to give it to Butler County, just give them back the way we have been through our Facebook organization, but to do it through, you know, this more efficient and more broad, you know, because this is something that we have folks in Mississippi that want this. We have folks in Georgia that want this app, that are aware of the design that I have and the solution that I have, and they want that ability to connect with their community the way that we have done kind of manually through helping Butler County, and we want to make it more efficient for everyone.
Story of a man who recognizes a need and does something for it, yeah. Helping Butler County. Hey, you brought your young son in here to the studio with us today.
Yes, sir.
What's that young man's name?
Oh, this is Brock. He's on his summer vacation.
Hey, Brock, I'm going to guess. I'm not very good at guessing young people's ages. I would say that Brock's about 17.
What do you think? He's 17?
How old are you, Brock?
10.
Where do you go to school?
Shikora.
Shikora Elementary? All right. Good for you. I like that haircut. You are, that's the in style for young guys. You know that.
Who gave you that haircut?
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Dad gives haircuts.
Well, thanks for saying hi, Brock. Nice to have you here today.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Scott, this is just terrific. Do you still have the T-shirt? That's what everybody wants to know. Do you still have the free Dad Hugs T-shirt?
I do. I do have the T-shirt. I think it's been laundered by now. I'm not sure. We had my daughter's graduation party last Saturday, and it was at our house, which was the worst possible timing to have your entire property perfect and ready to host so many people the same week that you've got phone calls and texts and emails from literally all over the world. But you know, we got through it. You know, everybody buckled down and we got through it. But I have the shirt. I actually don't know where it is, but I think it may still be in the bottom of the hamper.
And he's not exaggerating when he says all over the world, because local television picked up a couple of people. I've seen the photographs of a couple of people hugging you. And then that was picked up by, I know it was on CBS, national TV, probably other
CNN,
networks as well.
CNN
had it.
Yeah.
Fox News had it on. And then, of course, social media these days.
Yeah, BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed picked it up on social media, and it just went crazy. I mean, it was for that. That's one of the biggest outlets that kind of has tentacles that goes out everywhere else. People, the other agencies watch BuzzFeed and find it and then grab it, and that went crazy. But I mean, what's been more powerful to me have been the personal stories. I've responded to every single personal message that's been sent to me on Facebook. Not the ones on the post itself, but people that wrote to me directly. It's over 2,600 of those messages now that I've responded to, and some of them are absolutely incredible. I mean, we've had We've had parents saying that they've been crying for days and that they were that parent, and now they've reached out to their child and they want to reconcile. We've had children of all ages, you know, some 30, 40 years old that have said, and obviously younger, that have said, I haven't heard from my parents in a week, a month, a year, 5 years, or 10 years. And, you know, they've read this and they've seen the response to it, not just reading the post, but they've seen the response of how many people told them or are saying how much it hurt them. And now those parents have reached out to these children, and the children are saying, you know, hey, I'm having lunch with my dad tomorrow for the first time in 5 years, things like that. So, I did have one young woman that wrote and said that, you know, she was done, that Tuesday of last week was going to be her last day on earth, that she was gonna
take her own life.
Suicide, yes, sir. And that she saw the post and that she read the comments and she saw the positivity and she's decided to push on. So obviously I, you know, did my best to connect her to resources local to her where she'd have people to talk to that are professional and can help her and other support groups. But I also told her, you know, hey, anytime you need to write, you know, let me know. I'm not going to not answer, you know, someone that has opened up to that level and confided in me of that. So, it's been pretty powerful along those lines.
That's a wonderful human interest story. You may have seen it, folks, on local Pittsburgh television or CBS or Fox News or CNN or social media and wondered, who is that guy in the free dad hugs T-shirt? And you probably didn't know it was a Butler guy, Scott Dittman. Thanks for the story. Thanks for what you did. That's terrific.
Time.
That's
Thank
terrific.
You so much.
Yeah, people. A lot of people remember this all their lives. They will.
Yeah, I think that's going to be like who I am now. Apparently, yeah. I'm the free dad hugs guy.
I do believe so. Scott, good to see you. Thanks for stopping
good
in.
Good to see you again. We'll talk to you soon.
And thanks for bringing Brock too.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, Brock's got a big smile over there. Hey, we have a couple of minutes left on the program today. We're going to talk to the giraffe lady coming up here on WISR in just a moment. Stick around. We'll be right back.
How would you describe driving and parking in Pittsburgh? Long? Stressful? How about expensive? If you are answered yes to any of these, then the Butler Transit Authority is here to help. With comfy coach buses equipped with free Wi-Fi and USB ports, commute to Pittsburgh stress-free and economically. With fares starting at just $3.87, not sure if it's for you? Try it out for free. BTA is offering 4 full weeks of transportation completely free the third week of May, June, July, and August. For more information, schedules, and park-and-ride locations, visit butlertransit.com.
Coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, our guest is Karen Gross, who is a former senior policy advisor to the U.S. Department of Education and a very popular author of children's books.
Nice to be with you, and hello to your listeners.
We are gearing up for World Giraffe Day.
So World Giraffe Day is June 21st, which is the longest day of the year, in honor of the tallest animal on Earth. And the goal of World Giraffe Day is to work hard to save giraffes because they face extinction. It's a very sad thing, but in the continent of Africa, there are only 110,000 remaining giraffes. And it would be a horrible thing for this creature, this marvelous creature, to cease to exist. And because many of us in America see giraffes in zoos, we don't realize that they are at such risk in their native countries and actually could die off. So a portion of the proceeds of this book called Are You a Giraffe? Go to the Giraffe Conservation Foundation.
Is this your latest book? I know you've written a bunch of children's books.
Actually, this is the latest one to come out. I have several more coming out this summer. But yes, this is the latest book. It's in the Lady Lucy series. And this is actually a prequel. It uses the characters from Lady Lucy, but it's meant for younger children. And it's a book that engages kids. And Lucy, multiracial character, has never seen a giraffe. So she goes up to every animal she comes upon and says, are you a giraffe? And they go, no, I'm a bear. Or, oh, no, I'm a zebra. No, I'm a bluebird. And kids get to say, no, 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 no. But then when she finds a giraffe, they go, yes, yes, yes. And she comes upon four giraffes who all look different because there are four species of giraffes.
Hmm. Well, this is obviously
so education within the book and fun.
Obviously meant for very young kids, probably for parents to read to them while the kids are looking at the illustrations, right?
Yes, although kindergartners and first graders can actually read the book. Maybe they need a little help, but it can go from sort of four or three all the way up to seven, and kids can read the book. And my hope is, frankly, during the summer months, that children read the book, enjoy the book, use their imagination, their opportunities to answer questions in the book, to draw pictures in the book. And how critical is it that we use the summer to keep kids engaged and excited about words and wordplay and reading and new ideas?
True. And you have traveled the country visiting schools and libraries and PTOs and all sorts of things, trying to promote the idea that you're talking about here. This is a great summer read for a little kid.
Absolutely. And actually, I'm going to Okinawa to read to children next week. So not only are we doing this in the United States, but we're literally going global in the effort to save giraffe. And by the way, one thing they're doing this year to help save giraffe is they're putting crackers on their heads, way at the tippity top where their little horns are. And those trackers are solar powered with a battery backup. They're kind of the size of like a box of matches.
Mm-hmm.
And they're named after the Swahili word for giraffe, which is twiga. So they're called twiga trackers. So I actually think, in addition to everything else you can learn, you have a tongue twister as you say twiga tracker, which is what they're installing on giraffes to keep track of them and see what happens to them as they roam the wild.
You know, Karen, my first thought is, how in the heck do conservation officers get high enough to put a tracking device on the very top of the head of a giraffe, for goodness sake?
Okay, now that's a really good question. And one of the sort of interesting things that comes into your mind is, well, they're there, they don't climb up a ladder, for sure, to install this on a giraffe. There actually are a group of veterinarians who gently get the giraffe to lay down, and then they install the tracker while the giraffe is near to the ground. And at the same time, they do some blood work and other tests on the giraffe, so that they can follow them and determine if there are diseases and where they go and are they ensnared in nets, are they shot by poachers, are they wandering off on their own and not breeding. So getting the trackers on is like one big hurdle, not easy. The trackers are solar powered because you don't want to have to keep climbing up or doing something to restore the power. And then they'll track 250 giraffes.
Hmm. Well, it makes sense.
Which will be pretty amazing.
They can get them down on the ground and do that. I mean, I was picturing, you know, a utility company bucket truck or something like that.
That actually would be a pretty fun exercise for kids to say, how do you think they get the twiga trackers, even if you can say the word, up on the little horn of a giraffe.
I'm intrigued.
By the way, just as a point of information, those little horns that kind of look like lollipops on the top of the head of a giraffe,
mm-hmm,
are not standing up when a baby giraffe is born. They're actually down so that those little horns don't get hurt or don't hurt the mother.
Huh.
And then they pop up later.
Do both male and female giraffes have those horns?
Yes. All giraffes do.
I was absolutely unaware of the fact that giraffes were becoming an endangered species. I can remember seeing my first giraffe at the Pittsburgh Zoo when I was a little kid, and I didn't have any idea. What is it, some sort of disease? Why would people be poaching giraffes? I mean, it's not like elephants where they're going after ivory or something like that. Why would poachers be killing giraffes?
So I think you're in the majority that most people, because they see giraffes at their local zoo, don't think there's anything, or, you know, safari park, don't think that they're disappearing. Disease is one reason, but poachers use a variety of the parts of giraffes for various things. So they use their tails for whips. They use their skin for buckets and shoes. They also make clothes and rugs out of their skin. And some people eat their meat. So there's lots of uses for giraffe, but there are other products that you could most assuredly substitute instead of killing giraffe. Now, there are also people who are trophy hunters who want to have themselves photographed having shot a giraffe and standing beside this animal that was fallen by the shooting, and that's a pretty horrible thing too. Whether you like hunting or not, shooting animals facing extinction is not a good thing.
What would it mean if indeed giraffes are listed as an endangered species? How might that change things, Karen?
So they are listed between vulnerable and extinction on various lists. Hopefully that increases the kind of laws that are put in to those who kill them. But the hope also is that it focuses energy, research, and science on figuring out some of the diseases that are killing them, some of the cultural norms that are standing in the way of giraffes existing, and lead to public awareness about giraffes so that people work really hard to try to preserve them.
Our time is just about gone. I'm sorry, we don't really have a real good connection here, Karen, so I apologize for the scratchiness, but nothing we can do on our end, and we can still understand you. Karen Gross is the author of Are You a Giraffe? A children's book. Is there a website, Karen, where people can get more info?
Absolutely. They can go to www.kidbooksbykaren, all with K's, kidbooks by Karen with a K. The book is also available at Amazon and Northshire and bookstores near you. And my hope is that kids will enjoy it with their families and caregivers this summer and reflect on saving giraffes.
Nice to talk with you, Karen Gross. Thanks for being with us.
Nice to be with you.
Are you sick of chronic pain and all that goes with it? You are eligible for your medical marijuana card. How do you get your card without the hassle? Compassionate Certification Centers for your medical marijuana card or CBD visit. Visit cccregister.com. That's cccregister.com or call 888-316-9085 today. Compassionate Certification Centers can help you get your medical marijuana card and connect you with certified doctors that can answer all of your questions.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Coming up on tomorrow's It's Your Turn program, Open Talk to begin the Thursday program. We're also going to be talking to a couple of gentlemen about the 500th anniversary of the death of Leonardo da Vinci. Great artist, sculptor, inventor. Truly a Renaissance man. 500 years since his death. We're marking that this year. So we'll talk about that on tomorrow's program. Program note tonight, Pirate Baseball, the Pirates, and the Detroit Tigers. Airtime is 6:40 for warm-up here on WISR from PNC Park. I'm Dave Malarkey. Stay dry. Hope to see you tomorrow at 12:30 for the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
Slow. So happy I found I still can't smile.